All right, well, we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, but I want you to keep your finger there and go with me just real quickly to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you're in 1 Corinthians, so if you just go towards the end of the New Testament, past 1 and 2 Corinthians, past Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then you've got 1 and 2 Timothy. So if you find 1, 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, and Titus, all those T books are put there together. If you can get to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and I want to just give some introductory statements before I get into the subject of the lesson, the sermon this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, well, let's just start at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking to a young man, Timothy, who's a preacher, who's a pastor that Paul has trained and is training. Now I want you to notice what Paul says unto him in verse 2. He says, preach the word. The Bible says that my job as a pastor is to preach the word, to preach the Bible, to help you understand the entire counsel, the whole counsel of God. The Bible says, preach the word. Now notice what he says. When he says preach the word, he doesn't just say preach the word, because most churches, quote unquote, and most preachers, quote unquote, would not disagree with this statement, preach the word. In fact, I would, you know, believe that the average pastor standing up, you know, on a Sunday morning believes that he is preaching the word. But I want you to notice what Paul says about this idea of preaching the word. He says, preach the word, and then he says this, be instant. And I want you to notice what he says. He says, in season, out of season. So here's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, I need you to preach the Bible. I need you to preach the word. But he said, I need you to preach it whether it's in season or out of season. He says, you know, ladies know what it means to be in season, right? He says, whether it's fashionable or not, whether it's popular or not, whether people like it or not. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. This morning, keep your finger there in 2 Timothy. Actually, you know what? Stay there for a second. Let me make a couple statements, then we're going to go to Genesis. This morning, I want to preach in, maybe you might think a peculiar sermon. I think it'll make sense to you in a little bit. But I want to preach a sermon on the subject of the unisex movement in America and the transgender movement in America. And I want to preach to you what the Bible says about this movement and this subject. And you say, well, Pastor Menes, why would you preach an entire sermon on the subject of the unisex transgender movement in the United States of America today? The first reason I would give you is because the Bible tells me that it's my job to preach the word. And you're going to see very soon here that the Bible has a lot to say about this subject. But the other reason that I want to preach a sermon on this is because I don't know if you're aware of it, or I don't know how in tune you are to these things, but Satan has an agenda today, and the world has an agenda today to normalize things that are not normal. Satan has an agenda to take things like the unisex movement, the transgender movement. Maybe you don't even know what those terms mean. Unisex means something that is designed to be suitable for both sexes, especially in clothing or hairstyle. Transgender means noting or relating to a person whose gender identity does not correspond to that person's biological sex assigned at birth, meaning they were born a male, but they don't think they're a male, or they were born a female, and they don't think they're a female. And you've got to understand this. The media today is pressuring, you know, our society into just accepting these things as norm. I actually had this sermon, the topic and this idea picked out, you know, weeks and weeks ago, months ago in my calendar. But this, you know, just this morning, I just decided I'm going to Google transgender, you know, news, just news about transgender people and unisex movement type stuff. Because I don't have a TV. I don't watch television. Sometimes I don't know about stuff's going on. It was interesting to me that as I Googled it just this morning, I saw that 2020 had done a 2-hour interview with something named Jenner that turned itself from a man into a woman. And I guess they gave it its own TV show. They called it Call Me Caitlin or something. And the whole series is to show people how this individual went from a man to a woman. And as I was just going through just some of the different, you know, headlines on Google, I saw that there's a huge movement right now of writers that are creating children's literature to teach children, as young as 5 and 6 and 7 years old, that being transgender is normal. You've got to understand that we are in a spiritual battle this morning. The Bible says we are in a spiritual warfare. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And you know, sometimes I think to myself, when I'm going to preach a sermon like this, I think to myself, most people on a Sunday morning that go to church are not ready to hear a sermon like this. And here's why. Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Look at verse 3. Paul said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." The Bible says there's coming a day when people will not endure. They will not want to hear sound doctrine. It says, "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." The Bible says that there's coming a day, and I'm here to tell you that the day is here when there are people all over this country going to churches all over the United States of America. They are not interested in the truth. They are not interested in the Bible. They are not interested in the Word. They are interested in being fed a message that makes them feel good. They have itching ears, and they want somebody to scratch it for them. They want somebody to make them feel good. And I'm just here to tell you, and you're all welcomed here, and I'm glad you're here, and we love you here. But if you're looking for a church where you just want to go to it, and you want to play church, and you just want to hear a nice sermon that makes you feel good, and you walk out here thinking you're spiritual because you went to church, you are not at the right church. Now, if you want a church that makes you feel good, we can help you find one. We'll blindfold you, twist you around a few times, and send you on your way. The first church you run into will probably be that church. The first church you run into will probably just be a fun center that'll make you feel good about, you know, yourself. But there are some churches, and you walked into it, that are interested in the truth and interested in preaching the Bible. See, we're not, the Verity Baptist Church, you know, we're not just, you know, in the Army. We're the Rangers, you know what I mean? We're not just in the Navy. We're the SEALs. I mean, we're interested in learning what the Bible says, and we're interested in fighting the battle. And you got to understand this. There is an agenda against your family. There is an agenda against your children. There is an agenda to normalize things like sodomy, to normalize things like being transgender and being, you know, the unisex movement. And I want you to understand this morning, I want you to see this morning what the Bible teaches in regards to this. Can you make your way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Let me say this also by way of introduction. Some of the stuff that we preach this morning, and I'll prove it to you from Scripture, some of the things we look at this morning, you may think to yourself, well, I've never heard that before. Some of the stuff we look at this morning, you may say, well, I don't do that, or I do that, or I didn't know that was against the Bible. Let me say this. We're not judging you, and no one's looking down on you and saying, oh, look at that person, and look at what they're doing. Unfortunately, the stuff that I'm preaching this morning, most people have never even heard before. So, you know, we want you to be here. We want you to learn it. But you got to understand this. The Word of God is the authority. And the Word of God is the authority at Verity Baptist Church. And I want you to understand this. I'm sorry, I told you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Go with me just real quickly to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. In 2013, there was a law passed in the state of California that made it legal for any child or teenager in our public school system to enter into the restrooms or the locker rooms of the opposite sex if they felt that they should have been born that sex. So a boy can go into the girl's locker room and says, well, I'm a boy on the outside, but I'm a girl on the inside. That is part of normalizing this weird culture that says that these things are normal and they're okay. And you've got to understand this. If you're in Genesis chapter number 1, I don't know if I told you the reference. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 27. Should be fairly easy to find. First book of the first chapter in the Bible, Genesis 1:27. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Genesis 1:27, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image. And that's where we've got to start. We've got to start with this understanding that God is the creator. God is the one who created us. We did not just evolve. There wasn't just an explosion and all of a sudden we're all here. It wasn't a mistake that we're all here. God created us. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says. Male and female created he them. God distinctly created a male and a female. God distinctly created a man and a woman. He created, people say, it wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. He created a man, he created a woman, and you got to understand this. He created them to be different. God does not want men to be like women, and God does not want women to be like men. And in the Bible, he gives us, how he wants us to be different. All right, let's make our way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And this may all be new to you, and I just would advise you, just listen to the whole sermon. Look at what the Bible says. You should study it out on your own. You should not just believe something just because I stand up here and say it, but you should maybe write down some notes, go home and study this out for yourself. You ought to study to show yourself approved unto God, is what the Bible says. You ought to be convinced because you read it in the Bible. And by the way, that's why we want you to have a Bible when you come to church. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, look at verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Look at verse 3. But I would have you to know. Now, I want you to follow what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. He says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. All right? So according to the Apostle Paul, what is the head of every man? It's Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. So according to the Apostle Paul, what is the head of the woman? The man. And the head of Christ is God. So according to the Apostle Paul, who's the head of Christ? God. Who's the head of the man? Christ. Who's the head of the woman? Man. Look at verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So we're going to allow the Bible to define itself as we study this in its text. But I want you to just understand what he's saying. He's saying the head of every man is Christ. And he says if a man prophesies or prays with their head covered, they dishonor their head. Now what he's saying is this. If your physical bodily head is covered, then you are dishonoring your head, meaning your authority, which is Christ. So here's what he's saying. If a man has his head covered, he dishonors his head, which is Christ. So God does not want men to cover their head. It says, should a man have his head covered? Here's the answer. No. All right? Now you say, well, what does it mean to have your head covered? We're going to let the Bible define that here in a second. But here's what you got to understand. Does God want men to have their hair covered? Their head covered? The answer is no. Look at verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Look at verse 5. But every woman. So he says, a man should not have his head covered. But he says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head, now don't miss this, uncovered. Do you see that? So he says, okay, what about a woman? He says, well, if she has her head uncovered, then she dishonoreth her head, for it is even all one as if she were shaven. So here's what he said. I just want to make sure you understand this. We're going to go through it slow. Does God want men to have their heads covered? The answer is no. Does God want women to have their heads uncovered? The answer is no. He says if a man covers his head, he dishonors Christ. He says if a woman uncovers her head, she dishonors her head, which is the man. Now, what's interesting, if you look at the last part of verse 5, notice what he says. He says, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. He says, look, if a woman uncovers her head, he says, that is, that the phrase that is there is referring to her head being uncovered. He said, that is, the act of uncovering your head, even all one, it says this, as if she were shaven. Here's what he's saying. If you uncover your head, he said, it's like if you were shaven. It's as if you were shaven. Notice verse 6. And he's talking to women here. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Now that word shorn means to remove hair by cutting or clipping. If you understand what a shorn haircut is, I have a shorn haircut right now. This is how I cut my hair. You know, my wife takes clippers, and she cuts my hair short. You know, I've had this haircut since the military. I like this haircut because I just get up and go. You know what I mean? I don't have to comb anything, brush anything. Sometimes I don't even shower. You know, I just go. All right, now that's too much information. So here's what he says. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, he says, if the woman doesn't want to cover her head, he said, then let her also be short. He said, just take clippers and just cut all her hair off. Now notice what he says. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, what does it mean to be shaven? To remove hair off the skin with a razor. So here's what he says. Ladies, which one of you would like to volunteer for us to shorn your head, to take clippers and cut your hair off, or take a razor and cut all your hair off and put you bald. And most women would say, no, I don't want to do that. I like my hair, you know. I put a lot of work into my hair. And so here's what Paul says. If it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, here's what he says. Let her be covered. You see that? So let's just review. God does not want a man to have his head covered. God wants a woman to have her head covered. And if she's going to uncover her head, then he says, you might as well just shave it. You might as well just have it shorn. You might as well just cut it, cut off all your head. You say, well, what is the correlation between, you know, having your head covered, and why is he telling you to why is he telling women to just, if you're going to uncover your head, then go ahead and just cut it all off. Now notice verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. So again, does God want men to have their head covered? No. He says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Notice verse 13, judge in yourselves. Is it comely? Now I want you to understand this word comely. The word comely means attractive or pleasing in appearance. Here's what he says. Is it comely? Is it attractive? Is it pleasing in appearance that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Look at verse 4. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have, here we go, let the Bible define itself, that if a man have long hair, do you see that? It is a shame unto him. The Bible says it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Now look, I understand that we are in the year, you know, 2015. Is that the year we're in? Good night. We're in 2015. I understand that I am a young man. I understand that I missed the 60s and the 70s. And I understand that our nation was enlightened in the 60s and men grew out their hair long. But listen to me. The Bible says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? And you people say to me, well, Pastor Menes, you're trying to preach that men should have short hair. You know, this isn't the 1950s anymore. This, you know, the 1960s came and men, you know, grew out their hair and men got long hair and they ride their motorcycles and let the hair, the wind blow in their hair and all those things. But listen to me, my job is to preach the word, whether it's in season or out of season, whether it's popular or not. Whether people like it or not. Look at verse 15. But if a woman have long hair. I skipped verse 14. Look at verse 14. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman. Sorry, I didn't skip verse 14. I thought I did. But if a woman have long hair. Notice what it says. It is a glory to her. Do you know that the glory of a woman is her hair? That a woman with long hair, that's her glory? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Notice, let the Bible define itself. For her hair is given her for a what? Covering. So according to the Bible, what was given to the woman to cover her head? Her hair. People come to our church all the time, they try to tell me, well, you know, your church isn't right with God because you don't make your women cover their heads. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you're supposed to put a little napkin on your head, you know, when you come to church, and you're supposed to grab a cloth and put it over your head, and you guys aren't right with God because your women don't cover their heads. And I always say to them, well, the Bible says that her hair is given for a covering. It doesn't say her napkin. It doesn't say a blanket. Doesn't say a piece of cloth. Look, you don't have to put something on your head and say your hair is covered when you come to church. But the Bible says that a woman's hair is given her for a covering. And then God says, because I gave a woman long hair for a covering, then I don't want her to uncover her head. What is he teaching? He's teaching women should have long hair. Men should have short hair. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now look, we live today in a society where people say, it doesn't matter everywhere I go. Especially when I go to these trendy places, you know. If I go to Starbucks or Chipotle, I always see some woman with her hair shaved. You know, and there's this new style where like they shave like half of their head. And then like the rest of it is long. I'm like, now, I don't even know why you think that looks nice, okay? But here's the thing. You know, and today people say like, oh, it's okay for men to have long hair. Oh, it's okay for women. You know, women should have short hair. Listen to me. I'm not mad at you. You say, well, I'm a woman. I have short hair. I'm not mad at you. You probably never even heard this before. You probably never even gone to a church that even taught you the Bible. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says and God says that when God created a male and when God created a female, he wanted them to be distinct. He wanted them to be different. And he said one of the things that he did to show their difference was that he told men to have short hair and he told women to have long hair. Because I want you to be different. So you got to understand this. God does not want a blurring of the sexes. Today we have this society. See, you say, well, how do we get to this place where, you know, they're in the public school system, they're reading books to our children about being transgender. How did we get to the place where in the public school system they are teaching, you know, Gay History Month and, you know, let's teach the kids about, you know, the sodomites and all the history that they went through. And it's like, what history did they go through? What did they do? You know, but we've got to take time to promote them. How did we get to this place? Here's how we got there. It didn't just happen overnight. It began by blurring the lines between the sexes. It began by having, you know, men start looking and acting more like women and having women start looking and acting more like men. And if we can kind of just blend them all in and they all just kind of look alike. So what's the style? Men don't have long hair. They just kind of have real shaggy hair. So they can do this. Listen, guys, if you do this to get the hair out of your eyes, you need a haircut, all right? And then women, they don't almost chop their head off. They just kind of cut it short, you know, because it's trendy. Give me a bob. And then it's this thing where, like, it all kind of unites and it all kind of fades. And then I walk into Starbucks and there's something helping me on the counter. And I'm not really sure if it's a guy or a girl. I'm not really sure if I'm supposed to say thank you, ma'am, or thank you, sir. So I just kind of say, you know, thanks, you know, because it just kind of, because the men wear the skinny jeans and the women wear the skinny jeans and they've got the shaggy hair and they all look the same. You say, well, I don't think you should be preaching. I'm here to tell you, God says he wants there to be a difference between men and women. He created male. He created female. He said men should have short hair. Women should have long hair. He wants them to be different. God wants there to be a difference between the length of hair on a man and a woman. But not only does he want there to be a difference between the length of hair of a man or a woman, God wants there to be a difference in the type of clothing that men and women wear. Go to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you find Genesis, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 22. Now listen to me. Listen to me. You're going to have to decide whether you believe the Bible or not. You're going to have to decide what you do with the Word of God. You can say, well, I don't know about all this. Look, does it say it in the Bible? Is the Bible the authority, yes or no? Yes. Is the Word of God the authority, yes or no? And if it is, then you just got to submit to it. Some people walk up to me and say, well, you know, when I'll preach a sermon like this, and ladies will walk up to me and say, Pastor Brothers, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that sermon because I've got short hair. And I'm like, it's not that complicated. Just let it grow. Pastor Jimenez, I don't understand. I'm a man and I've got long hair. Go get a haircut. It's not that complicated. Is the Bible the authority? Well, yeah, then do what it said. Well, I just didn't know. Then don't worry about it. Just get right with God now. God wants there to be a difference between male and female. He wants their hair. God gave hair to a woman to identify her as a woman. Look, when my wife and I are, you know, walking down the road together, walking at the store together, holding hands, and somebody's walking behind me, I don't want them to be, you know, wondering, which one's the man and which one's the woman? I want it to be really clear who's the man and who's the woman. Do you understand that? I mean, you say, well, is that, look, there are so many times I'm at the store, I see things holding hands, and I'm just like, which one's the male? Which one's the female? Or are they both males? Or are they both females? Because that's a unisex movement. Deuteronomy 22. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So we learned, number one, that God wants there to be a difference between the male and female hairstyles. Long hair on women, short hair on men. But not only does he want there to be a difference between the hairstyles of men and women, but he wants there to be a difference in the clothing. Are you there in Deuteronomy 22? Look at verse 5. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22, look at verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. The woman shall not, notice what it says, wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Okay, is a woman supposed to wear that which pertaineth unto a man according to Deuteronomy 22:5? The answer is no. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Should a man put on a woman's garment, clothing that pertains to a woman? The answer is no. For all that do so are, I want you to cue in on this word, abomination. Do you see that? He says, if a man puts on the clothing of a woman, he is an abomination. And if a woman puts on the clothing of a man, she is an abomination. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So here's what he says. He says, women should not put clothes on that belong to men. And men should not put clothes on that belong to women. Now, whenever I preach this, I always start with the men. Because the women get offended. You guys are going to get offended here in a minute. That's fine. I'm used to it. I'll be fine, all right? But, you know, usually it's pretty easy for us to understand this concept that men should not wear women's clothing. I mean, who thinks it would be normal if some, you know, 250-pound, hair-legged man walked into the building today just wearing the prettiest Sunday dress he could find? I mean, who would think that's normal? I mean, we would probably all look and stare, and then we'd ask him to leave, right? You need to go somewhere else. There's a church down the street. They might let you in there. So here's the thing. It's pretty easy for us to understand. Nobody thinks right now. I promise you, listen to me very carefully. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, it will be normal for men to wear women's dresses to just church and school and clothes. It's already happening. There's already teenagers going to prom with, you know, male teenagers with a gown on. And it's coming down the road. But it's pretty easy for us to understand. Man should not wear women's clothing. But notice verse 5. Notice what it says. The woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. So what is the Bible? The Bible says that women should not wear men's clothing. So here's the question that we have to ask, okay? We're not going to ask the world, okay? The world, I don't know if you know this, the world is insane. The world is crazy. The world thinks it's normal for a man to get a surgery and become a woman, all right? The world thinks it's normal for two men to go to bed together, all right? We cannot trust what the world says, all right? So we're not going to ask the world what clothing belongs to a man and what clothing belongs to a woman. The world thinks it's okay to take a baby in the womb of a mother and, you know, puncture its head in and kill it. All right, do you understand that? They're crazy. They're insane. They're not normal, all right? So we can't go to the world and ask the world what clothing belongs to a man and what clothing belongs to a woman. We must go to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to tell us. What is the clothes that belongs to a man? And what is the clothes that belongs to a woman? And the Bible very clearly teaches that. Go to Exodus chapter 28. We're going to look at a lot of passages. You say, Pastor Meadows, I don't agree with anything you're saying. That's fine with me. It doesn't matter to me if you agree with it or not. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to study it out for yourself. Write down the references. Look at the passages. Go home and study it for yourself. Go home and decide, you know, what does the Bible really teach this? Exodus 28, look at verse 42. Exodus 28 and verse 42. Notice what the Bible says. And thou shalt make them, now this is God speaking through Moses to the Levitical priest, all right? He's talking to men here, and he says, thou shalt make them, I want you to notice these words, linen breeches. You see that word breeches there, B-R-E-E-C-H-E-S, if you've got a King James Bible? Okay, that's our modern word, breeches. Breeches are a pair of pants. To cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thigh, they shall reach. Breeches is a more modern word, but even breeches we don't use anymore. Breeches are a knee-length trouser or pants. You ever heard somebody say, oh, they're getting a little too big for their breeches? Okay, they're talking about, you know, they're getting pride-filled. Now, here's what the Bible says. Here's what Moses said. All the way, thousands of years ago, when they came out of Egypt, he says, I want you to make breeches, for the priest. Now, here's what you understand, okay? Because some of you are asking this question. You say, well, Pastor Jimenez, when I was in church as a little child and I went to Sunday school and they always showed me pictures of the Bible characters and there was always men wearing a bunch of dresses. So, you know, men, they didn't wear pants back then. Everyone wore dresses. The men wore dresses. You know, they wore these long robes. Okay, but here's what you understand. That's the agenda of Satan. That's what he wants you to believe. According to the Bible, what did the priests wear during the time of Moses? They wore breeches, pairs of pants. They wore pants in Bible days. It's not like, you know, it's a modern invention. You know, they created the diesel engine, and then they figured out how to make pants, okay? It's not that complicated, all right? It's close, you know, if you can sew, you can figure out pants. And in the Bible, the man wore pants. Go to Leviticus chapter 6. Let me show you more examples. Leviticus chapter 6, look at verse 10. And by the way, Jesus wore pants. Say, well, I saw this drawing by this guy named Leonardo, and Jesus had a little dress on. Okay, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what the pictures show. Guess what? That wasn't a picture of Jesus. You know that they didn't have cameras during the time of Jesus? That's an artist rendering. Okay, in the Bible, men wore pants. Let me prove it to you. Leviticus chapter 6, look at verse 20. I'm sorry, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 10. Now, you got to decide, does what the Bible says matter? Or does it only matter the way I feel and the fact that I'm a little uncomfortable? Leviticus chapter 6, look at verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garments. Okay, he's talking about the garments for the priest. Notice what he says. And his linen breeches. His breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes with the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. So there again, we're told that they were to put on breeches or breeches. Go to Leviticus chapter 16, look at verse 4. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 4. Leviticus chapter 16, we'll do this quickly. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 4. Notice what he says, Leviticus 16, 4. Leviticus 16, 4. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, that's a belt, and with a linen mitre, that's a hat, and shall be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. So look, God's telling these men, he's like, put on a pair of pants, put on a belt, put on a hat. Go to Ezekiel chapter 44, towards the end of the Old Testament, Ezekiel. You find those major prophets, you got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 44. Look at verse 18. Ezekiel, big book, towards the end of the Old Testament there. Ezekiel chapter 44, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 44, look at verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. They shall have linen bonnets, okay, that's a hat, upon their heads. And shall have linen breeches or pants upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. So he's saying, hey, I mean, do you see how he over and over when he's telling men how to dress, he says, put on a pair of pants. Put on a pair of pants. Put on a pair of breeches. Put on a pair of breeches. Let me give you another example. Go to Daniel. You're there in Ezekiel? Next book over, Daniel. Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3, look at verse 21. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. Daniel 3, 21. Daniel 3, 21, the Bible says this. Then these men were bound in their coats. Now notice, these are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're getting ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But this verse describes the clothes that they were wearing. Notice what it says. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now that word hosen, that's an old Germanic word used in both German and modern English to mean pants. And we don't really use it today. You know, it's not in our contemporary English. But there we're told that they were wearing hosen. They were wearing pants. They were wearing breeches. See, in the Bible, go to Job chapter 38. If you find the book of Psalms, right in the center of the Bible, right before Psalms, you got the book of Job, Job 38. In the Bible, man wore pants. They were not walking around with a bunch of dresses. So I just thought they wore these long robes, and it's just kind of like a dress, like a woman. The Bible is very clear. Men wore breeches. They wore breeches. They wore hosen. They wore pants. And let me prove it to you even further in Scripture that men wore pants in the Bible. Job 38. Are you there? Look at verse 3. Job 38, verse 3. Job 38, verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man. I want you to make note of that phrase. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Go to Job chapter 40. Look at verse 7. Job chapter 40, verse 7. Job 40, verse 7. Job chapter 40, verse 7 says, gird up thy loins now like a man. Now here's what these phrases are telling us. Girding up your loins is something that a man did. He says, gird up thy loins like a man. And you find this concept, I'm not going to take the time to show it to you all throughout the Bible, but you find this concept of girding up your loins all throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. And you say, well, what does it mean to gird up your loins? Girding up your loins was a process in which a man, because here's what you understand, okay? In the Bible days, they did wear robes, okay? Jesus wore a robe, and usually they were just like a coat, just like we wear coats today, you know, put on a suit coat, but their coats were longer, like a trench coat, you know? Sometimes you'll, in places that are, you wear snows and stuff, men will put on long overcoats over their shirts or suit jackets even. They'll put on an overcoat that goes on. In the Bible days, they wore these long coats, and even Jesus wore a long coat. But here's what you got to understand. They also wore a belt, all right? We already saw that in Scripture. Now, these men, when they were just out and about, they just put their coats on. They were just, you know, going to the store or being around the house. But when it was time to work, or when it was time to fight, when it was time to go to battle, they would say to them, hey, gird up your loins like a man. And here's what that meant, because they weren't able to go off to work with just all this material just flapping away, you know. They weren't able, it's not, you know, they weren't able to go out into battle and just have this coat on the way. So here's what they would do. They would pick up that coat, they would pick up that extra material, and they would tuck it into their belt in order to keep it out of the way so they could go into the field, so they could work, or they could go into battle, so they could fight. Now here's what you gotta understand, okay? If a guy's wearing a long robe, and that's it, I mean, nothing underneath, just a long dress like a woman. And I walk up to him and say, hey, it's time to go to battle. Gird up your loins like a man. And he takes that and puts it into his belt. Guess what? He just exposed himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? He just took up, you know, and now we can see everything. It's like, good night. Take it back down. We'll just fight without you. Okay? In the Bible, they wore pants underneath their clothes. So they could take their robe and put it into their pants, and they were fine. It just meant that they got the excess. So there the Bible tells us, gird up your loins like a man. Here's the point that I'm trying to prove. In the Bible, and I would challenge you to study it out. Study it out. Read the Bible. Look at verses. You know, come back to me with your findings. I'd be interested to see it. But in the Bible, if you want to find the clothing that men wore, here's what you'll find over and over and over and over and over again. They wore pants. So in Deuteronomy 22, when the Bible says that woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, what is it talking about? Saying women should not wear pants. God says, I want men and women to look different. I want women to have long, beautiful, glorious hair. I want men to have short hair. And then he says, I want women to put on a dress, to put on a skirt, to put on a long, flowing garment. And he says, I want men to put on a pair of pants. He says, I want the male and the female to be different. And today, you know, I'll preach stuff like this and people will act like, I can't believe that you're saying this. I can't believe. Do you know that there was a time in our country when no woman put on a pair of pants ever? For any reason? Women would get arrested for going out in public with a pair of pants. And people would say, it's crazy. It's crazy that, you know, and preachers would get up and say, women should not put on pants, you know. And I'm sure people would look at them and say, no one would ever do that, Pastor. You're kind of zealous. You're kind of weird. And now it's just the norm. And I'm here to tell you, there's coming a day when men are going to go out wearing dresses. It's going to be norm. My son's going to get up, or my grandchildren are going to get up and to a church, and they're going to preach, men shouldn't wear dresses. And people are going to roll their eyes and say, oh, you're a fanatic. You're crazy. Now listen to me. If you're a lady here today and you're wearing a pair of pants, I'm not judging. You probably never even heard this before. You know, you say the churches today are so busy preaching 52 weeks of grace, 37 weeks of love, 72 weeks of mercy, they don't have the time to get into the Bible and teach you what the Bible says. But the Bible says that men are not to wear the clothing that pertains to a woman. And a woman should not pertain clothing that wears to a man. And a man should have long, short hair, and a woman should have long hair. And that is what God calls normal. And there was a day when everybody thought that was normal. And today people will look at this type of preaching and say, you guys are old-fashioned. You're like, you know, Little House on the Prairie or something. And I'm here to tell you, you know, we need a little more old-fashioned. We need a little more back to normal. What's not normal is that children, 7 years old, are being told, you know, you might be a woman inside, little Johnny. You know, little Elizabeth, you might actually be a boy. You just got born into the wrong body. That's not normal. This morning, I walked downstairs to grab my shoes, and I came around the corner, and my 7-year-old son was sitting on the floor tying his shoes. And he's sitting on the floor, he's tying the shoes, he's singing to himself, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. Wheels on the bus go round and round all throughout the town or whatever. And I sat there and I just listened to him for a little bit. And he didn't see me. I thought to myself, that is normal. A seven-year-old boy tying his shoes, singing a song, being innocent, being pure. It's not normal for a seven-year-old child to be sitting there wondering, if I was really born a boy, was I really born a girl? Maybe I'm transgender. That's not normal. Now, that's what our world wants you to think is normal, but it's not. It's not normal. It's weird. It's odd. And today, you know, people will look at us and say, hey, there ought to be a difference between men and women. Men should look a certain way and act a certain way. And men should look a certain way and act a certain way. And we shouldn't blur those lines. And people will look at me and say, you're radical. You're weird. And I would say to them, you're insane. If you think it's okay for a man to dress like a woman, and you think it's okay for a woman to dress like a man, and you think it's okay, you know, and you say, well, I just don't see anything wrong with this transgender movement. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Look, the Bible says that there would come a day when they would call evil good and good evil. And that day is here, my friend. Go to Romans chapter number 1. We'll finish up here real quickly. See, well, why would you preach the sermon? Because, look, we've got to battle what is right and what is wrong. And the world, see, people get mad at us for preaching what we believe, but the world's allowed to just indoctrinate every weird thing they want to, you know, believe. They're just allowed to promote it. They're allowed to put it out there. They're allowed to have it on TV, on the radio, on the billboards. They're allowed to just put it all out there for our children to see, but we're not allowed to stand up and say, no, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. So someone's got to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. No, this isn't right. No, that's not normal. No, that's not the road we want to go down. That's not what the Bible says. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Say, well, why would you preach against blurring the lines? Why would you preach against, you know, people dressing and you know, men like women? And by the way, let me say this, Romans chapter 1. Today we have a so-called feminist movement in our country. That's not feminist at all. The feminist movement, here's the agenda of the feminist movement. Make women be like men. What's feminist about that? We're going to take women, we're going to chop their hair off, we're going to put clothing on them like men, we're going to make them all work like men, you know, don't, you know, shave your legs, burn your bra, go to work, go to war. Why would a woman want to be like a man? Why would a man want to be like a woman? And people say to me, Pastor Menz, you preach sermons like this, your church is never going to grow. Let me ask you a question. Why would I want to pastor a church with 500 people in it who think it's normal for a man to go to bed with another man? See, our goal is not to grow a church. Our goal is to preach the word. Let God grow the church. And I'd rather, you know, pastor a church of 20 people than understand what the Bible says and understand what the word of God says and is actually interested in what the Bible says than, you know, have 1,000 people. But see, you got to understand, some of us are not in it for the money. You didn't walk into Joel Osteen. I'm sorry, I'm not Billy Graham. We actually preach the Bible here. Romans chapter 1. Look what the Bible says. We'll give you some closing thoughts. You do what you want with it. The Bible says this, Romans chapter 1, verse 24, wherefore, God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice what the Bible says. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Isn't that what 2 Timothy said? That they would not endure sound doctrine? That they would turn their ears unto fables? He says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. Notice what the Bible says. I want you to understand how the Bible describes this. We're talking about sodomy here. We're talking about homosexuality. We're talking about a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Notice what he says. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. You know what the word vile means? It means disgusting. It means it makes your stomach turn. He says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change I want you to notice these words. Make note of this. Underline this. The natural use into that which is against nature. Does God think it's normal, it's natural for a woman to be attracted to another woman? The answer is no. Does God think it's natural for a man to be attracted to another man? The answer is no. Look at verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things, to do those things which are not convenient. Look, you got to understand this. There's nothing normal about, you know, I was looking at these articles this morning, and I was talking to my wife, and I saw this LGBTQ, you know, and I'm like, we're like, what is that? You know, and it took us a while to figure it out. The LGBTQ community, lesbian, gay, bi, transgender. I don't even know what Q stands for. I mean, I'm not even sure what that is. It must be, you know. I mean, I don't know what that is. LGBTQ community, you know. But here's the thing. They want to normalize it. And we have to take our kids and say, no, it's not normal. No, it's not good. No, it's not right. And I'm here to tell you, some guy walks in here with a dress, we're going to ask him to leave. And if they won't leave, then we'll just throw them out. And you say, well, who's going to do it? I mean, I can get the ushers to do it, but we can probably just get some middle school girls to do it. You say, well, I don't understand. Members of the LGBT community, they're not welcomed here? No. You say, well, why not? Look, I don't want some guy who's attracted to another man wearing a dress sitting next to my son in church. Do you understand that? I don't want them sitting next to your kids. We don't need them here. It's not normal. It's not natural. God says it's vile. It's disgusting. They've gone after strange flesh, is what the Bible says. And someone's got to stand up and say, hey, listen, hold up. Time out. This is not right. This is not normal. This is not good. This is wrong. This is vile. God speaks against it. No, it's not normal. You know what's normal? A 7-year-old tying his shoes singing, the wheels on the bus go round and round. That's normal. A 7-year-old in school being taught, you may be a homosexual. You should at least try to experiment with it. That's not normal. That's weird. And someone's got to stand up and say, no, no, no. Normal is a man marrying a woman, having children. Normal is a man raising his children for God. And today, the world wants to just, and here's how you take a stand against it. You say, well, what can I do? Here's what you can do. Make a distinction between male and female. Just decide right now. So some of you need to just decide. Some of you ladies need to just decide. I'm going to grow out my hair as long as possible. Why? Because that's what God said. Some of you ladies need to go home and throw some pants away. And you can tell your husband, Pastor said you got to buy me a whole new wardrobe. You know? Because the Bible says that God wants men and women to be different. And we've got to stand for it. And people say today, that's crazy. That's insane. I can't believe that you would preach that. But here's what you got to decide. Is that what the Bible says? Study it out. Grab the CD next week. You know, go on the website, listen to the sermon again. Look at all the verses. Read all the. Show me where I'm wrong. If you can show me where I'm wrong from the Bible, not from what you think and what I. And well, in the Greek, it actually. No, no, no. Show me what the Bible says. I'll stand up here next week and I'll say, hey, listen, I was wrong. So and so actually showed me right here that God thinks cross dressing is okay. I'll do that. You can show it to me. But I promise you, you won't be able to. The word of God must be the authority. Let's bow our heads and